true.
Some it can't be just as files.
And they're all true stories. We got a lot of them. A lot of outdoor fun, from search and rescue to the Dillon Reservoir to, well, the frauds and scams. Those are going on as well. Welcome to the Summit County Justice Files. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform, educate, and engage with our community.
Yeah, now before we get started, Tom, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity and the lessons learned. And yes, more than just a few moments of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless, of course, there was a crime of bad jokes. So we can be guilty of that sometimes. Right. Let's get into it. Summit County Justice Files, starting out with the deputies who were alerted to a suspicious man in a parking lot who appeared to be looking into the windows of parked cars.
Yeah, this guy... You know, the person that reported it thought that this guy was casing vehicles, which happens, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about all the time in the law enforcement world about
suspicious activity.
You see something, say something.
Yes.
Right? So now everybody calls 911 about everything. And this is one of those where it wasn't what it looked like it was. It turns out that this guy, deputies found him sitting in his vehicle, and he explained that on this day he had taken his wife's vehicle, and when he parked, he couldn't really remember where he parked or really what the vehicle, because it's his wife's car.
Yeah.
And so he was looking around for his wife's vehicle. And he found it eventually, where we found him. And he explained that his wife was in an appointment and he was just waiting in the car for her. So, hey, listen, still, if you see something, for God's sake, say something.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, you know, we'll always come check it out.
Yeah, it's always good.
And find unsuspicious people sitting in their car.
Now, what's the Sheriff's Department non-emergency number for contact?
Here in Summit County, it's 970-668-8600. That's the non-emergency.
That's where you can get a hold of the sheriff for anything suspicious.
The sheriff's office will always respond.
A case of illegal camping near the Dillon Reservoir. A couple of illegal campsites. The first campsite contained piles of trash and food scattered around, along with an empty tent.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this before, Tom, that in this area that's what's referred to as the Dillon Recreation Area, the land surrounding our lake up here, the Dillon Reservoir, there's no camping, there's no fires, there's none of that stuff.
Unless you're in the approved campgrounds with the approved fire rings.
Oh, wow.
But
imagine that.
Yeah. Apparently.
Apparently, people think they just camp where they want.
You can't do that.
You know, what they're trying to avoid is exactly what deputies found here, is people just leaving trash and leaving fires burning. And this was all the above. They were able to find one of these campers and give him a warning, have him clean up the mess a bit. You know, because the ticket could be expensive and can be not fun, because some of these tickets, depending on who writes it, whether it's us or a federal agency, if it's one of our federal partners, U.S. Forest Service, they'll write it to Grand Junction. It's a must-see in Grand Junction, and you'll have a really bad day if they write it.
I would think so.
So we were able to find one. We weren't able to find the other, but I'm sure they probably were somewhere watching us and went, oh, I'm not going back to that campsite while they're there.
Yeah, so they eventually got their camp out of the way.
And it's hard to leave a note at a campsite.
That's true. Just pin your card to the tent and hope
and
for the best.
Sometimes when we leave a note, people don't call us back. Imagine.
Well, who would have thought that? How rude.
Gosh.
A semi-truck driver whose brakes had caught fire was refusing to be towed after the flames were extinguished. I would think the truck would not be operable, but he didn't want to get towed. What's up with this?
You know, we have two truck ramps coming down westbound I-70 from the tunnel.
Runaway truck ramps.
Runaway truck ramps.
For emergency use.
The two busiest truck ramps in the country. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Fun fact.
Wow.
The two busiest That is the busiest, what they call Straight Creek descent there, is the busiest two ramps in the country. So this is when we see trucks up there, and especially with hot brakes and they derail up the truck ramp, they've got to be towed away. This guy was refusing to be towed away. We don't usually respond to these unless State Patrol is not available. State Patrol wasn't available. Deputies were able eventually to get this guy to comply. Otherwise, he was facing being towed anyways and a ticket. So we got him to comply. Everything was good. I mean, you can imagine the danger, like you just said. His brakes had just fried. If people don't understand that when you come down these hills like we have here, you know, they warn truckers, put in low gear. Because if you get on, even in your car, if you don't use your engine and downshift, you will fry your brakes and catch fire.
Not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
Not at all. Yeah. Well, I heard that State Patrol is doing some extra enforcement up at the tunnels and on the descent coming down the hill into Silverthorne just to check those truckers.
You know, it's amazing. Like, you can't do enough. And it's just like speed enforcement anywhere.
Right.
It's like it's only as good as when you were there. It's when you're not there. I mean, people just fly. And we have horrible accidents here, as you know.
Yeah, we do.
Horrible.
Yeah. Keep your speed in check. It's not a race to the mountains, people. You'll all get here eventually. There is a report received about an illegal and unattended campfire that hadn't been completely extinguished, which is always a concern during the high fire danger around Summit County. This resulted in a 10-foot square area being charred in Lincoln Meadows. Tell me where that is.
Lincoln Meadows up here in Breckenridge.
Okay.
It's a high meadow, which is really beautiful. Well, you know, it's obviously high in recreation. People do camp up there. During fire restrictions like we have now, as you just mentioned, you can't have fires. And the thing that scares us the most are these type that we come across that campers had illegally. They either thought they put out or they didn't put out, one or the other, because usually they think they've put it out. They've put water on it. They've done something. And then the warm afternoon winds blow, or like we're looking at the monsoon coming in, and it reignites. Either way, this fire reignited, burned a big space up there. And, you know, if it wasn't for the quick reporting of people because of the recreators up there, a fire like this could burn down our mountains.
And we don't want that.
Please, we do not want that.
Please watch your campfires. Please do us all a favor.
Yeah, don't have illegal campfires during fire restrictions.
Here on this mountaintop,
and yes, the wildlife is wild here in the high country. A woman called for some help after finding herself trapped by a moose during her hike.
You know, we sit here and chuckle about this because of the amount of moose encounters here in the county.
They're real.
But they're real. And as I always say, moose don't care. Like, they will trample you. And so I laugh, but I laugh only because, you know, the listeners would be surprised at how many moose calls we actually get of people trapped on trails. Sometimes they try to get around them and get trampled. Sometimes they try to take selfies with them and get trampled. And then sometimes, like this person, they actually call 911 and say, the moose won't move. And like I just said, it's because moose don't care. Right. I experience this all the time trail running in the early morning hours, where a moose will be in my way, and I'll just go, okay, you win.
Yeah, it ain't moving. It don't care.
I'll go around.
Yeah, that's one of the wildlife species we have here in the high country that absolutely they're not afraid of anything. They're not going to run away from you. I mean, they might, you know, walk away from vehicles approaching.
Yeah.
But if you're just out on a hike, the moose might look at you, give you a glance, and acknowledge your presence, but it sure as heck ain't going to move.
It's exactly like I said. Moose don't care.
Yeah.
They will, like you said, stare you down and go, what? And you're like, oh, come on, please move. They don't move.
More drama from the Dillon Reservoir. During a thunderstorm, deputies at the reservoir were called to assist three paddleboarders who were cold and wet and stranded on an island.
Yeah, we talk about this week after week, right? Like, people go out on the lake, these monsoonal afternoon microbursts comes in, mm-hmm. and before you know it looks like someone dropped a big rock in a small pond, and paddleboarders, boats, everything are everywhere. This is one of those occasions where, thank God, they were wearing their personal flotation devices.
Which is required.
Which is required. But not always worn. Right. Thank God they were. And they were found by our deputies on the lake, our patrol deputies, because we some of our deputies have that cool job of patrolling the lake in a boat. And we're able to get these people back to safety with their boards. So all was good.
Let's talk about this illegal campfire with the Airbnb. Renters left a fire pit smoldering and unattended through the evening. That got reported.
Yeah, this is another one where, again, during fire restrictions, you know, we encourage homeowners, if you're a homeowner, even a short-term rental owner, that have your fire pit in your backyard approved by the fire departments and certified so that you don't run into trouble like this.
Well, how much is that going to cost?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a minimal fee. But, you know, it's approved by the fire department because the other side of it is you have deputies come over to your house like this and they write you a ticket for $100.
And that's going to be a lot more than what the fee is to have your approved campfire.
And when it's renters, like in this instance, the renters that actually got the ticket, it doesn't make them happy. And it's not good. But, you know, this is versus, you know, we start a neighborhood on fire, especially during fire restrictions. So this is why during fire restrictions, when we have them, it's a zero tolerance policy for our office. I mean, you're going to get a ticket.
We just want to prevent forest fires.
We just want to prevent fires.
Well, there's a kiteboarder getting ready to test his kite and launch from the shore of Dillon Reservoir, and a deputy approached this kiteboarder.
Yeah, kiteboarding is one of the things that is not allowed.
Not allowed.
In Lake Dillon. So this kiteboarder was educated on, you know, the do's and don'ts of Lake Dillon, and he was pointed up towards our other lake, Green Mountain Reservoir, where it's the old Wild West, and almost anything's allowed. There's almost anything not allowed on Green Mountain. these are some of the wild things we come across on this lake all summer long of trying to keep people safe. Make sure people are in PFDs, rescuing people, advising people what they can and can't do. You'd be amazed at how many people either go online and see the do's and don'ts before they go to a lake that they're unfamiliar with, or just disregard them.
They just show up and go for it.
Not me.
Right. It's like I've got a wetsuit or a dry suit. I should be fine, right?
It's like with people with dogs off leash. Well, they don't mean me. My dog is nice.
No, it's in effect for everybody. Another Dillon Reservoir assist. A deputy patrolling the reservoir was flagged down by a couple of young men, one on a stand-up paddleboard and the other in a poorly inflated kayak.
You know, this is one of these Walmart specials again.
Oh, man.
And lo and behold, these folks were camping. They're not from here. They decided to go on to the lake. They, too, got caught in a wind in their poorly inflated, inexpensive Walmart special. They were rescued again by our patrol deputies out on the lake. They were not wearing PFDs as they were sinking in the lake, their poorly inflated device. They were educated and warned about their behavior and the fact that we've talked about this too, that we actually will loan you a free PFD for the day. If you don't have one, we'll loan you one.
Just look
the
for
marinas will loan you one. Yeah. We'll loan you one.
Just look for the stations. They're all around the lake.
They're everywhere.
Everywhere. You can't miss them.
Well, apparently you can.
Some people can, apparently. And they're not at some of the popular launch areas like at Guyverson Bay. A lot of people launch over there, but the marinas have them. The campground, what is it?
Pine Cove.
Cove, yeah.
Pine Cove is where our ranger station is.
Yep.
We have them out there hanging on a rack. And
it's a great area for stand-up paddleboarding. It's nice and shallow. It's pretty secluded and pretty sheltered.
Yeah, there's that little alcove.
Yeah. That's a good area if you want to get your stand-up paddleboard out and you don't want to deal with parking on the damn road and dealing with Guyverson.
I heard some crazy number. Like last weekend, they counted 164 paddleboards on the lake at one time.
Oh, my gosh.
At one time over the weekend.
Yeah, well, a lot of people getting out and
you
recreating.
Couldn't you almost walk across that then?
Almost, yeah. Just imagine
if you're wearing your PFD in case you slip.
Imagine if they all joined up in a big flotilla. how much of a party that would have been.
Oh, my God.
They got to coordinate these. Come on,
people. Hey, now that we've said this on here, someone's going to listen to this and go, hey, well, they said it on the they said it on the podcast.
Right.
They said, go ahead and tie those 10 paddle boards together and have a giant party.
As long as you're wearing a PFD.
Wear a PFD.
Yeah.
Wear it. Don't strap it to the board.
That's something that's not prohibited. I mean, you can sure pontoon up and get a whole bunch of people together and have a good time wearing your PFD.
You could actually have a great time, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Let's talk about a kid that accidentally locked himself in a vehicle. It was a 2-year-old, unable to get into the vehicle. His mother called for help.
Yeah, this is more of a public safety announcement, a PSA about reminding people, don't leave your kid locked in a car when it's hot outside. And especially up here when you think, it's only 75 degrees, but at 10,000 feet?
Yeah.
That's hotter than hot. So this kid, we were able to get there, unlock the car, rescue the kid, counsel the mother. Thank God that she got to the kid and called 911, before anything medically bad happened to this kid. But this is more of a just, hey, everybody, a reminder. Because, when I hear, I don't know about you, but when I hear these stories, even on the news about, they forgot their kid was in the back seat in a car seat. I'm like,
how?
I've never forgotten my kid in the car.
Right.
You know what I mean? How do you forget your kids in the car?
I mean, somebody's just living their life with so many distractions and things going on at the same time, they can lose track of their kid.
Ooh.
It's a little scary. So kids and dogs, don't leave them locked in.
Yeah, here in Summit County, don't leave dogs either.
Not a good thing. Deputies received several reports that the occupants of a pontoon boat on Green Mountain Reservoir had spelled out the word help using logs on the shore, which was visible from Highway 9. Now, is this the one as you're heading southbound on that shoreline? People always spell out things.
Yes.
And okay, so then somebody spelled out help.
Someone saw it.
And
a boat.
And a boat was nearby.
Launched there. So I saw the photo of this. It was crazy that they did a really good job of spelling help. They were rescued. I mean, let's get to the...
They needed help. They legitimately needed help.
They beached this boat that had broken down, a big pontoon boat, and they legitimately needed help. And you and I always talk about, Sheriff's Office takes every call seriously.
Yep.
This is up at Green Mountain, so it's the north end of the county, and takes a minute to respond. But this is one of those things where we could have said, like you just said, is this where you always see people writing stuff?
Yeah, they're always,
You see hearts, you see, all kinds of...
Yeah, Joe plus Sue.
Messages
and all that. Yeah,
to the motoring public.
Yeah.
And, thank God we take every call seriously. Play like it's real. We respond, and these people were legitimately in need of help. It all ended well for them.
Good.
But not their boat.
Well,
it's expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be a fixed job.
What do they say about the two best days of a boat owner's life? The day you buy it and the day you sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
Somebody told me a boat is nothing more than a hole in the water you throw money into.
Oh, look at that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, let's go back to another boating story. This one from the Frisco Marina Dock. A pontoon boat renter was a little unfamiliar with the shifting and steering controls of the boat and accidentally collided with another boat.
Yeah, I mean, this boat accident caused $2,000 worth of damage. It was not a cheap accident.
Yeah.
We respond to these accidents. We take reports. Colorado Parks and Wildlife, requires that a boat accident report is taken. DUI, we obviously investigate for BUI to see if someone's intoxicated. This was someone who just didn't know how to control the boat, but they look the same, right? Someone that doesn't know how to control the boat and someone that's been under the influence controlling the boat. There was no drugs or alcohol involved in this. It was simply an accident, but boaters, be careful out there. And if you don't know how to use the controls of the boat, maybe you don't drive.
Or just let the people at the marina familiarize yourself with the controls and how to operate them, because they do that. People are on duty, and that's their job to make sure you know how to operate the boat properly.
Yeah, and have a good time.
Yes.
And not crash it.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's not crash boats anymore. All right. A local homeowner reported that a truck pulling a trailer had entered their property the previous night, and while attempting to turn around, the trailer became jackknifed and stuck on both their property and an adjoining mountain bike trail.
This was interesting because the homeowners didn't contact the driver. They just called. Thank God, like we always say, don't don't involve yourself. They called 911 because it looked like the person was asleep or passed out in the car. By the time the deputies got there, the truck, they found the truck stuck there with the trailer. And it turned out, the investigation revealed that this was a truck and trailer that had ran from the Breckenridge Police Department the night before. And they had lost the car because they're not pursuing it. They had lost the car and trailer. And we were eventually able to find the person and arrest them. And then they had to find a way to get now the vehicle towed off because it's on U.S. Forest Service land, federal land. And luckily, there are off-road nonprofits here that will go and tow your... It's amazing how many people get their off-road vehicles stuck up here in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And there's these off-road recovery people that'll, for a few bucks, will go any... crazy places they will go and recover your vehicle for you. It'll cost you some coin.
Oh yeah. And this guy'll get it done.
Yeah, and this guy had to pay from his account at the Summit County Justice Center.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Another issue on the Dillon Reservoir violation. Deputy observing a man getting ready to go out on his stand-up paddleboard didn't have a personal flotation device.
But you know what he did have?
What?
He had on his see-through mesh bikini thong.
Oh, well, there you go. That should be enough, right, Sheriff?
Right? He had no other clothing with him.
Oh, my goodness.
he was definitely not prepared for what could happen to him on the lake. Even in his see-through mesh men's bikini thong. Do you got the visual there, Tom?
I'm trying to scrape it from my memory right now.
Will you ever be able to unsee that?
I will never be able to unsee that.
I don't think the deputies will either. But they escorted him. They escorted him back and counseled him, too, on the dangers of going out there in your see-through mesh bikini thong.
Without a PFD.
You got to have the body to wear it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean...
Did this guy at least have the body to wear it?
I did not see the photo.
No photos?
Do you want me to get you the photo, though?
We'd love to see the photo. Yeah, we can show it to you right here on the podcast.
Hey, but we treat everybody fairly and squarely, and he was warned, too, as well as educated on A, PFD, have to. B, you need some other clothing other than that, especially... If you're not wearing a PFD and you fall in the water,
that'd
be cold.
And especially if the weather changes, which it's been doing on a regular basis every afternoon. Looks nice when you go out on the paddleboard. Then by the time you're out, the wind picks up, you got white caps, and there may be some issues.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a lost hiker who called for help when she became disoriented, couldn't find the trail.
Yeah, you know, this happens a lot with our rescue group and our special operations team. Where people will go out, and Tom, you know this from mountain biking and hiking, that you know there are main trails, and then there's a lot of social trails off these main trails.
Social trails? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, that's what you know that people socially have made themselves.
Gotcha.
And they usually lead to nowhere, or they lead in circles, or they'll get you lost. And lots of times, if you have not prepared for the hike, you know, whether you're downloading something on your personal device that you're carrying, because it's too late to find out you don't have cell service when you get up in the mountains here. And, you know, all of a sudden you find yourself on what you thought was the main trail, and it's a social trail. You can get disoriented really quick. For us, again, it's serious because if you become too disoriented and lost and you're not prepared for the weather, you're not prepared to spend the night, you don't have food, you don't have clothing, it can get life-threatening really quick where you think you're going for this simple walk. Luckily, our skilled... rescue coordinators, you know, most of which, there's a group of about 10 of them that we call the coordinators that coordinate these rescues, have been here for decades, and they know all these trails, and they're able to walk the person down as opposed to going and looking for them.
So what part of the county was this happening?
It's usually north of Silverthorne, but it happens. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean,
absolutely.
We see these everywhere, but luckily we were able to walk this person out, as we are with many people. But sometimes, depending on where you are and what social trail you may have gone. I mean, I just shared with you that the other morning I went for a hike here up to Salmon Lake north of Silverthorne. And off that trail, there was a million social trails.
Oh, yeah.
A couple times where I stopped because the social trail looked now as packed as the normal trail. And I went,
Which way am I going?
It caused me to pause for a minute. And then when I stayed on the real trail and came back to this juncture, I went, okay, remember, go straight. Don't go left or right. This is the social trail. So even me, who's been here a couple decades, these things can get confusing.
Back to the Dillon Reservoir. A suspicious woman was walking around a campsite that was not hers, taking pictures of the host and his RV. And when the host attempted to speak with her, she ignored him and walked away.
Yeah, you know, again, this is one of these where we take all these calls serious, especially with the camp hosts. We've talked about this before. Camp hosts, they have us on speed dial because of sometimes the unruly people they run into. This, again, was something that it turned out to be not what it looked like. This woman happened to be hearing impaired, and she didn't hear the camp host. And she was walking around his trailer, but she was taking pictures of the lake as she's walking around, which was verified by the deputy.
Right.
But she had no idea that this camp host was yelling and screaming at her, telling her to get away from his campsite. So, again, all good, but we take these all serious, and this is the reason, like, you never know what you're going to encounter.
It may seem innocent, but it may not be.
It could be the exact opposite. It could be someone with a gun. It could be anything.
If you see something, say something.
Say something.
It's basically pretty simple. There's a third shift worker taking a break late in the evening when she witnessed a driver crash into a ditch, and the driver of the vehicle then approached her and stated that he just run over a flower bed. And she noted the man seemed a bit intoxicated before he got back into his vehicle and drove away.
Yeah, so this is a guy that actually made it into a ditch and threw someone's flower garden and then drove away. Luckily, she called in close proximity of this contact, and deputies were close by. We're able to observe this guy weaving down the road. Not weeding down the road, but weaving down the road. And he was very intoxicated, and they ended up arresting him, and he spent the night at the Summit County Jail.
And
his car got towed.
And there you go.
And I don't know what happened with the flower bed.
Yeah, it's
probably. And you know how hard it is to grow flowers up here, so I can see where you'd be upset. If someone drove through my flower bed, I'd be upset.
Flowers are a labor of love.
They are a labor of love and mental health.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, all of that.
Oh, upsetting. Well, there was a visitor that called deputies because she was upset there was a wedding at Sapphire Point that was blocking her access to the area.
It seems like we talk about weddings all the time here around the lake, right? Oh, yeah. And again, this is someone that thinks that because they booked a place for their wedding around the lake, and this was at Sapphire Point, that they can block everybody. And it's not a fact, folks. You can use the area, but it's still open to the public. And if you were to look close enough when you're making the reservation, it tells you that these places are still open to the public. It may interrupt your wedding. Beautiful sights, all of these. And we encourage, you know, people to come up here and have beautiful weddings. But these are all public lands, and they are all open to the public. They're not private property that are rented to you and everyone else is excluded.
There are those options available if you want to, you know, pony up some cash.
Oh, I mean,
there's some beautiful places like Black Mountain Lodge up at Arapahoe Basin, one of the best places, up in Breckenridge.
10 mile station at Breckenridge.
Exactly. They've got some great options for booking weddings where you basically will have a private setting if that's what you so desire. Let's talk about a woman out hiking midday in the wilderness area arrived back at the trailhead and found her car window had been smashed.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about this on the radio. Spring and summer, that, you know, if you're going to go to our trailheads, which are a lot of them, these convenient ones are right off the interstate. They're also real convenient for opportunist crooks. And if you leave stuff in plain view in your car, like purse, camera, computer, backpack, you name the expensive item, you are just enticing people. And if you don't think they're going to break your window to get it, they are.
So did she report things missing?
Yeah. So stuff was missing, of course.
Expensive stuff sitting in the front seat in plain view.
Of course.
Of course.
Stuff that we'll never see again.
Yeah.
But don't leave stuff in plain view. Lock it in your trunk.
So there are smash and grabs going on in Summit County.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a big city thing.
No. And especially our trailheads that are really convenient along the interstate. Mm-hmm. It makes it really convenient to get on, get off. Like fast food. Get on, get off.
Yeah. Be aware.
Get just off,
be
get
aware
on.
Of your surroundings. Oh. Get off, get on.
Get something off, get like on. Yeah.
A local resident reported hearing what they believed to be a gunshot after a loud noise startled them. They observed a man opening his door shortly after hearing the sound, unsure where the sound had come from.
Yeah, you know, it's one of the... If you're going to do something, don't then open the door to see who saw you do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this is someone that was... and this happens more often than you think, that was... You know, having a couple of drinks and cleaning their firearm.
Oh.
You know, relaxing.
Sure.
Some people find cleaning their firearm very relaxing.
And sure.
They might be having a drink or smoking a joint or not recommended when you're cleaning a firearm.
Not at all.
Because what do we always talk about? Anything that starts with drugs or alcohol never ends well. Well, this is one of those instances where it didn't end well. Cleaning his gun, his story is, didn't realize it was loaded. Gun goes off. Thank God it didn't. You know, when these type of things happen, we need to trace that round. Like, we need to make sure
where to go,
especially if it's a single family house on a large property. That's different than if it's in an apartment building and the hole goes through the wall. So we have to chase these bullets to make sure that they don't haven't injured anybody. In this case, it didn't. We did find the bullet a few apartments down. And this guy went to jail and slept it off.
And his gun is probably clean by now.
His gun is clean, but it's in our evidence.
Is it really? Yeah. Okay.
We took the gun.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. Deputies received multiple reports of a man yelling for help and attempting to flag down passing cars. Some callers tried to ask the man what he needed, but he did not respond and continued to shout for help.
Yeah, so these things that happened, again, along the roadside. This guy was injured. We did contact him along with, our emergency medical services. He wouldn't talk to us. There was no evidence of a crime or foul play. He was injured. Who knows what could have happened to him? But these are one of the things where the ambulance ends up taking him to the hospital, where some people, whether it's mental health issues, whether it's fear of law enforcement, whatever it is, literally just would not talk to the deputy, but answer the questions of the paramedic. You know what I mean? It's one of those. Everyone loves a fireman.
Oh, man.
Everybody loves a fireman.
Oh,
I think
I
got in the wrong line.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
No, I think
it's good
you
to
find
be sheriff.
Where you are. Yeah, it is. It's good to have you, Sheriff. Summit County Justice Files is what you're listening to. I'm Tom Fricke from Crystal 93 with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. We get to visit on a weekly basis on the radio on Crystal 93 at 93.9 in Summit County Thursday mornings at about 7:45. We can catch up and just go over some things briefly and then get a little more in-depth here on the podcast with the Summit County Justice Files. Search and Rescue got involved with this next item, a hiker in the backcountry experiencing breathing difficulties.
Yeah, this was a relatively young guy. This shows you that, anything can happen to you in the backcountry. You can have a medical issue, and it doesn't matter of your age or the shape you're in, you know, that... if you're going to have a medical issue, this guy, it ended up, thank God again that he called 911 when he realized that maybe, I know it's hard to breathe at 10,000 feet, but maybe it shouldn't be this hard.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to locate him on the trail and determine that he was suffering from high altitude pulmonary HAPE, which is fluid in the lungs. Which is life-threatening, and they had to call Flight for Lifes, which is our local, medical helicopter, and they ended up having to fly into the backcountry where this guy was, pick him up, and take him immediately down to Denver to a lower altitude and to a higher level of care. But, boy, he really self-rescued, meaning that he didn't go, well, I think I'll just climb to the top of the summit and then see how I feel.
Right.
He literally felt like this isn't right and probably saved his own life. And the fact that we were able to get to him rather quickly.
And just a reminder that the high altitude can affect people of any age. I mean, this was a young guy, right?
This is a young guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a young guy in his 30s.
Man.
So,
it's one of those things that altitude can
that is young.
Up on
to you and me,
that's
young.
Well, yeah, exactly. To us, that's just a
there
kid.
There could be someone younger than that going, 30?
30?
Oh, God, what was he doing hiking?
Right, he's an old man.
Shouldn't he be in a wheelchair? 30. Do you remember ever thinking that? Like, 40 years old. 30?
So old.
That's so old.
Then you get to those ages and you're feeling great and you're outside recreating, doing all this. It's like, wow, those people that I saw back when I was young, they weren't doing all these cool things outdoors, I guess.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is. Well, tell me about this bomb threat that happened back in May of this year. Deputies and law enforcement around Summit County responded to St. Anthony's Summit Hospital for a bomb threat.
Yeah, it was, you and I had talked about this, I think, on either the radio or the podcast in real time when it happened. And again, we treat all incidents, especially at our local and only hospital, as real. This was a huge resource drain the night it happened. We suspected, obviously not initially, but through the investigation that night, that this was probably one of those swatting calls. Mm. You just kind of start working your way through the call. But this is one we dedicated a lot of resources to in the moment, the night of. And also follow up with our detectives, trying to locate this person that called, trying to track the number down, trying to listen to the phone call to see what you can pick up, all kinds of investigative clues. At the end of the day, which happens often with victims of crimes like this, the hospital at some point kind of just sort of disengaged with us, saying that they didn't want to pursue this any further or dedicate any more of their resources to it. Once we all kind of determined it was a swatting call, we were hoping to serve a search warrant on the phone number. We were hoping to serve the hospital requested, because they recorded the call, that we do a search warrant on the hospital. And then at the end of the day, the hospital leadership, not necessarily the people we work with here, but the leadership, decided to disengage in this investigation. So it kind of becomes a dead end for us, because now we no longer have a victim of a crime. And so it's kind of sat there, and hopefully it doesn't happen again.
Is this a common thing for the hospital to do in a situation like this?
I don't know about a situation like this, because this was the first time this had happened.
Sure, yeah.
But we've had nurses and doctors assaulted in the hospital by people that they don't want to pursue the charges on the person, or destroyed an emergency cubicle, a room.
Yeah.
A bed and all the equipment in there. And for whatever reason, and when I say the leadership, I truly mean not the people that we work with day in and day out.
Right.
These are decisions being made by corporate.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like the ivory
machine.
Tower.
Right. Yeah, the machine is making these decisions.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that that's not helpful to law enforcement. It's not helpful to the community. And I don't think it supports your employees either.
Right.
So those are just my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
My opinion.
And that's what we're allowed to share here on the Summit County Justice Files.
We support our local hospital workers.
We do, indeed, because, man, they work hard.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Saving lives every day.
Yeah. Big thanks to those guys. Let's talk about deputies responding to a theft and check fraud. Victim lived north of Silverthorne. Victim explained that his checks were not received in the mail after ordering them, and was contacted by the local bank about a suspicious check that cleared with the victim's name on it. For a victim loss of $1,200.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the check cleared. Like, they cashed the check.
Yeah.
I don't know that the bank is... I wouldn't doubt that the bank refunds the money, but you and I talk about these fraud scams all the time. Here's one where we actually, because it was a check fraud scheme, not an internet fraud scheme, and a check was cashed and there was some other things done, that we were actually able to finally identify the suspect and issue a warrant for their arrest.
Excellent.
Now, we haven't found them yet.
Okay.
But the good news is, this is a fraud scheme that we actually were able to
Find the perpetrator.
Find the perpetrator and get an arrest warrant for him. So it's in the big system. And should this person come across law enforcement and they run them, they're going to be arrested for it. So that bravo. In fact, I kept a new scheme I haven't seen yet on my phone.
Did you really? Excellent.
Brand new one that I hadn't seen.
Can you share it here on the podcast?
Of course.
Yeah. Let's take a look at that.
See what.
New frauds, new schemes, new scams.
Yeah.
They're coming out every day.
Every single day. This was, you're going to love this one. It says, hello, my name is Catherine from Pearl Talent. Talent agency.
Wow.
Brand, I've never seen this one. We were really impressed with your profile and would like to provide you with a chance to take on a flexible remote role.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
In this position, you would assist merchants by updating their data, improving their visibility, and managing bookings effectively. You can work from anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes a day and earn $500 a day.
Well,
with a guaranteed base of $800 every 4 days. There's a paid 5-day trial period, and monthly earnings could exceed $5,000.
Holy cow, where do I sign up?
Comprehensive training and full benefits are included. Don't miss out. Text YES too.
Uh-huh.
And they want you to text and when the minute you do, it unloads your whole phone.
Oh my gosh.
That's the first one I've seen on talent. I'm talented.
A talent fee.
A talent agency.
A talent agency.
They saw my profile somewhere. I didn't realize that I put my profile out there to a talent agency.
Well, they found you.
I wanna text them and say, my talent is a sheriff, my talent is you know, you did text the sheriff, right?
Right. You've got some mad skills.
Now I'm going to delete it because I don't want something to.
Right, don't mistakenly text back to the number.
Yeah, and of course, when you click on the, like I tell people all the time, hey, click on where it came from.
Right.
It comes back to somewhere in Eastern Europe somewhere.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like
somewhere
I'm afraid
you can't track them to that.
Somewhere
point.
Where you That's, can't track them.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, let's talk about this item in July. Law enforcement responding to the Silverthorne area to assist with a missing 1.5-year-old child from the Willow Grove open space area.
Yeah, this is that death we had last week, the drowning, which was horrible. You know, it wasn't a sheriff's office case. The reason I'm mentioning it here on our podcast is this is another one where, and we kind of talked about this on the radio, where, you know, everybody that's literally every first responder that was on duty, whether fire, EMS, police, sheriff's office, search and rescue, you name it, responded to try to find this child. And to find this child at the end of this search, you know, a couple hours later, drown a mile down the river, impacts everybody. Impacts everybody. Even though this family that this tragedy occurred, this tragedy happened to, was from, you know, Colorado Springs. It impacted the local rescue community here just immensely. And it just shows you what this community can do and will do for anybody. You need help, we're coming.
Locals, visitors.
Oh my God. Doesn't matter.
They'll take care of you.
We're always here for you.
Summit County Sheriff's Office, Summit County Search and Rescue, and all the agencies.
Oh.
They do such a great job.
Such a great job. Yes.
That's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
And just so we're clear, our coverage does not include every crime. We leave out some of the most serious and sensitive cases. And all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. So with that said, my friends, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, remember, it never ends well, and you might just end up as our next feature.
On the Summit County Justice Files. You can also read the Justice Files on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That web address is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Justice Files, where law meets laughs and justice. Always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Thank you, Tom.